Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Friday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer and David Faber. Futures up on that better-than-expected jobs number for February, 379,000. Positive revisions. Bulls trying to look past the 10-year now at 163 and oil near 66. Our roadmap begins with the ongoing market volatility, rates rocking higher, futures rally as the jobs number does come in above expectations.
Plus, we will get the first response to the economic outlook following today's jobs report with National Economic Council Director Brian Deese. And it's a SPAC-ageddon, that SPAC trade. Once seemed as though it could only go one way. Well, that's starting to get undone. Market volatility, of course. Jim's talked about it. Growth stocks, story stocks, not quite what people are interested in, at least on the investing side right now, Carl, as we watch interest rates move higher.
Yeah, which Jim was just talking about with Joe a moment ago. Jim, I guess the working theory is that we're taking this in stride because we are so oversold?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think that we came in this today betting that there would be a number that was really much too strong. And that's why we, after Chairman Powell said some benign things, that's why we sold off. So you get the number. It's kind of predicted by what happened in the afternoon. So you get a little lift because we just yesterday's last 3 hours. Really, I think were 3 hours that drove people out of the market. I was doing stages of grief yesterday on the show, David. I've got to tell you, there's still a lot of people in denial. There's still not a lot of there's some people bargaining acceptance. No, we're very few people are accepting, particularly on the story stocks, David. You know, when I say story, I'm talking about 2040, 2035. Companies that have Joan Didion. It's
Joan
the
Didion,
year of magical thinking for some
yes.
of these.
Yes, it is. Although, yeah, I mean, 26 seems to be that key year that we've pointed to so often in so many of the presentations that come along with SPACs, which we'll talk about in a bit. But for many, any number of other companies, there is a very high multiple being applied to out-year revenues
right.
and potential EBITDA and or free cash flow. That has been discounted back and brought joy to the bulls for some time in a very low rate environment. And that's sort of turned on its head in the last couple of weeks.
The margin figures are the highest they've been in 7 years. Margin.
Yeah.
And then I'm told that they don't reflect. You'll love this one, David.
Yeah.
Loans against houses.
The margin numbers don't reflect loans against houses. In other words, not your mortgage, but you're taking an additional loan out on the equity in
yes.
your home
to
put into
money,
the
yes.
stock market.
And they're hoping that they get the stimulus money. Maybe they can pay down some of that debt. This is absurd. But, you know, there are a lot of people, David, who think that, as we heard many times last year, stocks only go up. Carl, yesterday afternoon, we saw a give up in a lot of names. But when you look at other periods of inflation scares, people are very upset. Stocks are down 20%, 25%. 30 to 40% is where they go. But they do tend to have a bounce, and then they go. So you have a bounce. If you're really bearish, take advantage of this. But I don't trust this market because what I saw yesterday was a sense that a lot of the big popular favorite tech stocks and SPAC stocks that we talk about, Carl, they're poison. And you can't just unpoison the well in one session. Carl, there's just a lot yeah. of stocks. You know, Virgin Galactic, the sellers, Costco. I haven't think Costco's going to bounce today because enough already. But, you know, you have people nitpicking in Costco, which had an amazing number. But we really have our sellers because they need the money. And, Carl, these people who need the money, and I'm not saying they're Wall Street Bets or Robin Hood or whatever, but they're not used to needing the money. They bought on margin. They bought calls.
Right.
This is it. And stonks go down. I mean, stocks.
Yep. We're going to. But there's a bunch of Bunch of price target cuts on Costco this morning. We'll talk about Chamath's selling of Virgin Galactic.
Yeah.
But, Jim, yeah, our SPAC 50 index is now red for the year.
Oh.
The Goldman basket of non-profitable tech is down 23 from the high. And now this downgrade of Nikola, although J.P. Morgan says they're still bullish on the long-term story, they think is largely about the change in sentiment that you're referring to.
Right. The fact that they were long Nikola, David, you and I were discussing Nikola yesterday. Yeah. So they love a truck that moves down a hill. I mean, I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on. Don't
come
say
on.
It was still the benchmark.
What do you take an issue with that for? So it wasn't under its own power. Well, it was a little great.
Well, QuantumScape's
they
up.
Never There's said it was under its own power. They didn't tell you.
Well,
Nikola, listen, it was a year ago, by the way, that I had
Ubbin
and Trevor Milton at the New York Stock Exchange. Last in-person interview that I did.
Well,
a year ago yesterday.
That was a combative session?
It was somewhat combative.
Yeah.
It was the early days. Who knew? I mean, I was just starting to really learn about SPACs in a more detailed way.
Well, now,
and by the way, we're going to talk a great deal about them in the next block. So,
well, I was going back and forth with Leslie Pickers. Did such a good job this morning.
Yes.
We were discussing the trading cards. The Gary Cohn trading card.
Yeah.
Right? The Bill Ackman trading card.
Mm.
I mean, you want to just get in there because maybe it's like a, I don't know what, an Ernie Banks? A Willie Mays? I mean, what do you do, David, when you're trying to assess the Gary Cohn SPAC? What are you trying to get? How do you, what is it? What ratio are you looking at?
I don't know.
I mean,
I'm looking at Cliff Robbins and thinking maybe he's going
to. The sonogram?
Well,
the hand? The butterfly?
Yeah.
You know who owns a lot of that one?
What? Who?
You know. Ark.
Oh, yeah.
Buys it every day.
Did you see that latest thing that Ryan Cohen, I don't know what that was.
Ryan Cohen. Yeah, Ryan Cohen, the man. Carl, we have saviors all over the place, and Ryan Cohen is the savior for GameStop. He's got it.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got it.
The Pets.com sock puppet tweet from yesterday was deeply moved by that tweet, guys. I want to talk a bit about inflation, Jim. Morgan Stanley today out with a note saying that these pressures for 2021 are not necessarily transient, especially in mobility-related sectors. And, of course, Powell got right to the point yesterday with that Wall Street Journal conference. Take a listen.
Businesses and people would need to believe that larger increases in prices would be repeated year after year. And we think it's unlikely that these deeply ingrained low inflation expectations would suddenly change. It is more likely that effects like the ones I described would be one-time effects.
Yeah.
Morgan Stanley, Jim, says it's going to remain elevated through mid-year as inventories and supply chains remain challenged, which we talk about literally every day.
Well, Costco, Rich Galanti, who's my favorite CFO of the retail group, has a list there in the Costco. He says, here, timing delays, port delays, they're impacting furniture, sporting goods, lawn and garden, even some food and sundries, seafood, imported cheeses and oils. And then there are pricing pressures in non-food, electronics, chip shortage names, TVs, there's pricing pressure, computers, pricing pressure, smart home related items, and then here's one, exercise equipment and bikes. Do you want to step in front of Peloton right now when you know that they're having supply problems to get bikes at Costco? Exercise equipment at Costco?
No, thank you.
That's right.
No.
108 million strong?
Yeah.
And they want their, so wait, buy a little Peloton here? What do you think? A little schnitzel?
No, thanks.
No?
No.
You're not going to take it on?
No, look at it. Down 12%.
You don't think this is a level?
I don't opine on this stuff. That's for you. So let's turn this around.
Do I
want to buy Peloton here, Jim?
It was facetious, David.
I know that, but I get uncomfortable just being asked because
I'm just saying if Costco can't get exercycles and can't get equipment, the delay on Peloton, what does it mean? Remember, it took $100 million
yes.
starts last time.
Yes.
And they've got this new, I don't know if they, Carl, have you tried their treadmill? I don't know.
No, I've heard good things, but I have not tried the tread.
Well, it's early. I mean, but
I doubt I'll get a chance to anytime soon either.
No, I mean, you got to put your name in. It's kind of like getting a Fisker, a Lucid, a treadmill. Name me two cars and something Peloton
makes.
Jim,
let's come back to the big picture here in terms of the 10-year, where the yield may go. If people are actually starting to talk about 2%. What happens to these growth names if you continue to see the trajectory with prices obviously down, yield up? on
well,
the 10-year
right now they're benign,
others.
Right? They're benign today. But I read a piece that reminded me of when in the 90s, the supply that's going to hit the market next week. How's the market going to handle the supply?
You're talking about the bond market.
Yes.
Now, because, of course, if we get the $1.9 trillion, which looks likely, the Treasury is going to be selling bonds, a lot of bonds. We're going to be, it's deficit spending, as we know. And there is a question, like, where does the additional supply come from? Unless the Fed's just going to scoop it all up.
Yeah,
which
the Fed
doesn't
might
appear,
buy it.
Well,
I mean,
but not clear that's the case.
No, it's not. But, David, I look at the supply problem. It is a problem.
So we're going to have some auctions that go off the rails?
Yes.
And what's that going to do to the market?
Well, rates are going to go a little higher.
Mm-hmm.
It still hasn't hurt the housing market, though. We got to point that out.
No, I mean,
it doesn't initially.
You look at a longer term of Carl, right, of the 30-year, and it's still pretty low,
but
even though it's moved up.
But
yeah, absolutely. But
have you seen the numbers, Carl, that Phil LeBeau's got out on the price of autos? I mean, Phil obviously is just
yes,
well
on the input.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Not
yes.
good.
Yeah. They're having to pay more for components, and that's going to feed right to us.
Yep. And we need, David scoffs at it, but we need a $50 billion 50-year bond to build. I actually talked with some of the larger CEOs and chips. They all know that we need a government. We need it like a Manhattan Project.
We're going to need a bigger bond.
All right.
One of my favorite movies. What can I tell you?
It is.
Yeah.
The best.
I always thought you were quick.
Although, Jim, on the flip side, Goldman does take Fifth Third to conviction by today, saying that the reaction to higher rates, especially at the short end, is going to be a lot quicker this time.
Well, look, these banks are flying. I mean, I saw just J.P. Morgan up 2 points even before the number. People have decided that this is the way to play it, and they decided that you got to play it with Exxon, and it doesn't matter. I mean, Fifth Third's a very good bank. I remember when I first heard it when I was at Goldman, and I called it Third Fifth, and the guy said, no, it's Fifth Third. I said, well, why would they put Fifth before Third? David, it's a quandary. It's a conundrum. It's a very good bank.
Yes, as we take a look at the overall, the bigger banks as well. But I did not see Fifth Third shares up over 53%. It's been a good place to be. Will that continue to be the case as we start to?
How about Key?
I don't know if,
you got a slight Key? Well, Key's only up 23. The one that is the best, I think, is First Horizon, because Brian Jordan has done a great job, up 27%, 3.6% yield. And you get the best areas of the country. You get Tennessee, which is booming.
Yes.
Why? Because, Carl, their taxes are somewhat better than ours. You get to keep a considerably more of your paycheck. Now, we're still working.
When we look at our paycheck,
it's like,
It's not a paycheck. It's soon, if politicians get with them, it'll be a stipend. That's what I call it.
You'll
be given a stipend. You'll be all right.
So you're a rich guy, and that's what you say? No, that's what people are going to say on Twitter. You know that as soon as you say that, you make.
I know.
I mean, I was.
Once you get past 52, 53, 54% of your income, I don't know.
Well, I mean, is it better than taking 2% of what you own and just make it writing a check for what you own?
It's 2 cents, Jim. 2 cents.
2 cents.
Yeah.
Well, you're not.
You're the only one at this table who's got to worry.
Do they take my suits? Do I have to pay 2% on my suits? I mean, look at this. I mean, this is a really beautiful
Zania. I value that suit.
I mean, I have to pay 2%. Is Elizabeth Warren
Rioni.
Want me to write 2% on this?
Yes, she wants to take your lapel right off.
Look at this. This is a...
Rip your arm off.
This is a Ferragamo. Do I have to give the government $1.80?
I'm going to cut that in half.
Oh, he
here,
is.
Government.
He's a sharp-dressed man, guys. Guys, we'll take a break. We're going to talk to Brian Deese of the National Economic Council about the very strong jobs number. Got some calls on Oracle, Boeing, Western Dig, movie theaters open today in New York City, and of course, David on the spectacular in a moment.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt, or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Well, last block, we were talking about SPACs, as we have now for many, many months, for good reason. They are a focus of this market, certainly a focus of the capital markets. And they have been enormously profitable for many of the investment banks, for many traders and investors out there. But much has changed over the last couple of weeks. Let's take a look and just sort of first, let's start, as we do every time this week, how many issues we had. SPAC analytics. I call them SPACalytics. There it is. 39. That's according to them. 39 SPAC IPOs raised $11 billion. I mean, if you were to go at this rate all year, you'd have 2,028 SPAC IPOs annually.
God.
But you're probably not going to. But again, the numbers are enormous and they keep coming. We got, by the way, 12 SPAC IPOs pricing last night. That's despite what has been this meltdown. Remember, of course, if you trade below 10, you're still going to get your 10. I mean, the money's in trust, right? So the cash is in trust. And then if they don't do a deal or if they can't get a deal passed after 2 years, typically, although, again, it varies deal to deal, but usually 2 years, you get your money back. At least you get your 10 bucks back. But as Jim was saying, Carl's talking about, we've watched some of these names go below 10. We can take a look at our indexes that we put together, of course, the pre-deal and the after-announced deal, but there's the CNBC SPAC 50. That puts it in some perspective for you. We got the other one as well. And then I want to get to just some of the names overall. There's when they've announced the deal but haven't de-SPAC, right? Mm-hmm. But then we got the families. We got the five families of
five
SPACs.
Families.
You got Chamath. You got Michael Klein at Churchill. You got Gores, Foley, and Betsy Cohen. I went with five families. There's some of the names. There's Chamath. Okay, so Virgin Galactic been very strong. He sold what $250 million worth of stock last night.
Yeah.
Open Door has been quite good. There's Clover, not good at all. Those have all de-SPAC'd. Then you've got the other two, still well above 10 at least. To take a quick look, let's move on to Michael Klein and his various SPACs. The Churchill SPACs, right? There they are. Not as good. Multiplan has been disastrous. That, of course, is de-SPAC'd quite some time ago. There's CCIV hanging in there, still quite a gain. The Lucid deal is the one they've announced. There's two that haven't been announced yet but have been issued, both trading a bit above 10. Gores we can take a look at, and then Foley. If we have them all, let's roll through them quickly just to get a sense as to some of the big family, the families here, right? That gives, look at that. Wow. 885, 1015, and then Foley Transamine. You get the point, guys. Other than a handful, and Transamine 2, that was PaySafe, I think, right? Yeah, that was PaySafe, BFT. That's still been doing well. And then Betsy Cohen also. A lot of stuff trading, Jim, near 10.
Yeah.
And it will be interesting. Some even falling below that. I've got a smart windows company, CFII, guys, $9. And they want to get their deal done. You know, do you vote yes for the deal, but then redeem because you can get your $10, even though you voted in favor of the deal? There's going to be some interesting things going on here as we watch these things pass below the $10 in trust value and see what they choose to do.
Yeah, and I think that, David, one of the things that we have to point out is you take something like Lucid, which is Churchill 4.
Yes,
we
Churchill
can look 4. At the price and we can say, wow, okay, you're okay. But how about the people who paid 50 because they yes. heard the rumor that it was going to be with Lucid? I mean, look at the money that was lost if you came in thinking that this was going to be the big win. And that's where I think the pain has really been clustered.
Without a doubt. There was so much speculation in the name. We talked about it, and, man, it got nasty out there. And when they announced the deal, it was the time to sell because we learned there would be 1.6 billion shares outstanding. Enormous deal, big pipe, great names. You can argue perhaps the car is going to be a great success. We've listened to Rawlinson talk about the efficiency of the battery, but it went from 60 to now 24 when we learned. And by the way, it's still got a market value that, where's Ford? I mean, we're still talking $37, $38 billion market value for this company.
Well, then, David, why shouldn't there be 2,000? I mean, what's keeping it so that there aren't 20 every day?
That's the thing. The thing is, the money goes into trust, right? So conceivably, after a couple of years, you may get it back. Or, as I said, now they have also cash minimum levels. Again, it varies deal to deal, but you can actually vote in favor of a deal, but they'll still try to redeem. Then the pipe comes in to fill that in. You can get your $10 back if it's trading below that. So there's an arbitrage there. There's a lot of different things. We're still learning. You know, this is still a relatively new, it's been around for a long time, but somewhat new product.
All right, so Clover Health, which has been the subject of a brutal short report.
Yes.
You own that. Why not buy it at 7?
I put it up there because it's de-SPAC'd.
It's its own
public company.
I'm sorry, it's de-SPAC'd.
Right, but it still has some of the same shareholders.
Right.
So, yeah, that's de-SPAC'd, Jim,
as multi-planned.
Right, that's just a company.
Right.
And we're going to have an awful lot of them, Carl, an awful lot of these companies out there that we may follow, that we're excited about sometimes. I mean, EV and battery technology.
Did you see the EV index? The EV index that
smart windows.
There are not a lot of them doing that well.
No.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
There's 17 charging station companies.
Is that all? Just 17?
All right, let me say 23.
Okay, good.
Wait a second. There's one called Tuscan Holdings. I mean, maybe that's like do you think that's like Venice? No.
Under the Tuscan sun.
Quartz.
I'd like to be under that sun.
It's under the Tuscan sun holdings. I'm making fun of that. I love Tuscan. Reddit bets. Tuscan, you're fabulous. I actually own a farm. Okay, in Tuscany. So I like Tuscan.
It's true. It's
true. And Churchill was amazing. David denigrated Churchill after he killed Lucid. I am for Churchill.
I don't think we need to be this defensive, but okay, we got that. We've made our way through a Jaws reference and a Godfather reference. It's only 9:22. Brian Deese of the NEC on the jobs number in a moment.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
If you missed it this morning, the jobs number for February, 379,000, was above the 200,000 estimate. Market likes it for now. The 10-year yield did get up to 163 for a new year-to-date high, but has settled back a bit to 159. We're going to talk to Brian Deese of the National Economic Council about the number after a short break in the opening bell.
All right, we made it. It's Friday. Get started with an opening bell a little less than 2 minutes from now. Let's squeeze in a mad dash. Broadcom is the name.
Yes. Now, every day, David, there is a semiconductor company that reports, and they're all blowing up. And people are hiding in this group and saying, you know what, because of 5G, it can't miss. Well, Broadcom, actually, and this is a Hawk Tan, who you know, David, we interviewed on set, delivers a great number. You can nitpick, but it's got 5G. The bookings are fabulous. And I've got to tell you, if this one doesn't work, if Broadcom goes down, David, heaven help the SMH. Yes.
Okay.
Well, because it's got 5G doing well. It's got they've got data center doing well. The guidance was terrific. The free cash flow is awesome. The yield is great. Hawk Tan delivered, David. And if he can't stem the tide, well, I got to tell you, even Skyworks Solutions was downgraded last night. There's no mercy when they turn on this group, on the semis. No mercy.
Nowhere to hide at all. I mean, you've given us
this is it, because it's got a 3% yield.
Right.
And he's already virtually booked for 90% of the year for some of his. I mean, this was an amazing call. And if it goes down, I don't know what to say. I don't. I mean, it would take my breath away if it went down. So you better get me some oxygen.
All right. I'll get on it. Carl, we got an opening bell coming up. Back over to you.
Yeah, guys, let's get to that opening bell. Final one of the week, obviously, coming after 4 days of losses. And as Jim said earlier, some remarkable price action in the latter half of yesterday's session, Jim. You know, if it's not rates that you're hand-wringing about, it could be oil, which, Jim, this morning is near 66. Gasoline futures yesterday, highest since July of 19. I know you talked about the impact of oil on retailers after Tanger came off of that intraday high.
Yeah, well, look, there isn't the everything involved in the food chain of anything commodity, whether it be copper, whether it be oil, whether it be lumber, whether it be anything coming from the ports, everything's inflated in price. And I know Jay Powell may think it's transient. It's entirely possible because Janet Yellen bet that the strength in the economy in 2015 would not be transient. It turned out it would be. And oil was what plummeted. But one of the things that's happened in this market, Carl, is that whenever you have a stock that has been a rocket, and I'm not talking about Virgin Galactic, but let's say the cruise ships. The cruise ship CEOs are not dumb. Norwegian Cruise, Frank Del Rio, he's pricing 40. How many did they finally end up doing? 29.85. Let's watch Norwegian Cruise because they sold more than 40 million shares. Why? Because they're not cruising yet. And so they need the capital. And this one already has a pretty good balance sheet, 47 million shares. I don't know, Carl. That's going to be the tail of the tape because if that deal fails, and people don't make money on it, we've got a new market because a lot of these have worked, including the Royal Caribbean. Ooh,
yeah,
now
I
you're under
about
the Royal
you when
Caribbean.
I saw that this morning, Jim. Ooh. That's 15% of the shares out, that new offer, and Norwegian's down about 8%. Jim, we'll see how the market responds. You know, thinking of travel-related names that people are trying to hop on board the train, this Canaccord upgrade of Boeing today, they go to buy 275. On the MAX outlook, they think they can work down their inventory of MAXs by late 22.
I think they can. And we saw United come in with some extra. And they also they said that the wide body problem is stabilizing. Obviously, travel and leisure, it is a direct play. Boeing is borrowing more money. David, they could have easily done equity, but they're going to the bond market. And I think they're going to get a good rate.
Yeah, why would they do that?
What am I, the CFO?
I sometimes you play a CFO on TV.
Well, I've talked to the CFO many times about not issuing stock.
Well, I guess they chose to take your advice and they didn't issue stock. I mean,
yeah, they're a very well-run company.
We're going to anniversary the $26 billion, the famous $26 billion debt
offering. Saved the market, David.
It was a
Sunday night deal. You were probably watching. Well, there's no sports.
What do you mean? I broke that deal. That was my story.
I was the first one
to talk about $26 billion.
You broke the deal?
Yes.
I stand corrected.
Yes, you do.
You
how much
that?
I've broken this year? I haven't
really?
Fixed anything.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah.
But remember, Boeing is this is my favorite line on the Boeing is that improved outlook for travel and airline recovery. And I think that's true. That's one of the reasons why my friend Stephanie Link pushed this morning Alphabet, Google. I've been seeing travel ads for the first time, Carl, because people do want to go somewhere. And if you're going to open up states, then you're going to go places. And I think that it's so easy to buy Alphabet here. I mean, because Fang is so hated. And I think it's easy to buy Boeing because it's still down substantially. So I say two thumbs up.
Yeah. As Gottlieb said this morning, guys, 16% of the population now has one dose, 8% fully vaccinated. We mentioned earlier, Jim, movie theaters in New York City are going to open today. Liam Neeson is going to be greeting moviegoers on the Upper West Side for those who are willing to.
Where's that going to be?
He has a particular set of skills that's a nightmare for the Bears.
She's been taken.
But keep your eye on IMAX, Jim, even though it was a slightly wider than expected loss. Shares doing okay. AMC not really reflecting much. But it's going to be an interesting fight. You know, David, at the same time we're watching movie theaters,
yep.
WandaVision's premiere last night on Disney Plus crashed the system again.
Wow.
Jeez.
And by the way, you know, Jim talks about no place to hide. Well, I'll tell you, Fox, Viacom, Discovery, to a lesser extent, Disney, at least recently, that's been a place to hide.
No, it has been.
I mean, Discovery is, I got to mention it again, because it's just, it's up 112% this year.
David did an
112%
interview. 112%. Where John Malone.
Viacom up only 95% this year.
John Malone is so smart, because I looked at Discovery, and it was at 27 when he said you have to buy it.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. He is incredibly smart. He's a bull long term. He owns a lot of the company. And yes, he still thinks it's going to go higher from here. I don't know, man. No pullback there at all.
I don't know. We got Adam Aaron, I think, is the one this afternoon, right? On closing bell, the CEO of AMC, who took advantage every single, you know, one of the things that has happened, whether it be Norwegian Cruise, whether it be AMC, some of the CEOs have decided, you know what, there's lots of enthusiasm, Carl, so why not issue stock? There is one that hasn't, but I'm not going to talk about any game because I want to have a nice weekend.
Oh, good. Yeah, don't talk about GameStop. real quick, Carl, let me just finish up. CoreLogic, CoStar says see you later. Very odd behavior to a certain extent. They cite interest rates in saying they abandon their bid for the company. Interest rates moving up, now is not the time for us to aggressively buy into the residential mortgage market. Been following that, as people know, for some time. That stock is benefiting from it. CoreLogic is obviously lower. It's been a weird one. They had four chances. They were asked for their best and final during it. They never came with it. Then they decided to come once the deal was announced with the $80 a share. Anyway, you won't hear that name from me for some time, Carl. Back to you.
Okay. Let's get to the jobs number. Of course, as we said earlier, 379,000 added last month. Unemployment down to 6.2. With us this morning, first on CNBC, the White House National Economic Council Director, Brian Deese. Brian, welcome back. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you guys.
I assume it's a number that you guys are definitely applauding today, and I'm guessing it could have been even better if the weather hadn't brought construction down about 61.
Well, look, we're always happy to see positive jobs numbers, but what you also see in this report is that we've got a long way to go. We're still down 9.5 million jobs since the pandemic began, and that's a bigger job hole than at any time during the Great Recession. And while we saw some encouraging signs in leisure and hospitality in February, we also saw some real concerning signs as well. You saw 70,000 state and local educators laid off in February. So we got a long way to go in this recovery, and that's part of the reason why we are going to be focusing on trying to get the rescue plan passed through Congress this weekend.
I was going to say, is that another way of bolstering support for the package? I noticed Gary Cohn this morning said the economy is showing recovery, consumers are returning. The risk now, he says, is misdirected stimulus. You obviously disagree.
Look, we look at a 9.5 million jobs down, and at the pace that we've seen over the last couple of months, it would take years and years to get back just to the pre-pandemic level. And of course, that's not where we want to get. We want to get back to trend growth. So we have a long way to go here, and we also have to recognize that the unevenness of this crisis persists. Black unemployment is almost 10%, and again, we see that we made no progress on long-term unemployment here. So while we're always encouraged to see positive things moving in a positive direction, we have a long way to go. And we also know that the kind of fiscal policy action that we're looking at in the rescue plan would really help to accelerate things across the board, whether that's at the state and local level or helping families on their balance sheets.
Well, let's talk about across the board. And I do point out that the black unemployment 9.9, that's just way too high. Hispanic 8.5. But you're sending a package of $1,400 pretty much to everybody at a certain, really at a certain income. Wouldn't you rather see that go disproportionately to the people who are unemployed?
Well, let's talk about what's in this plan. First of all, it extends and expands unemployment insurance for the millions of Americans. And as you say, the measured unemployment rate for blacks and Hispanics is what you cited. But most economists agree that actually, if you look at the actual unemployment rate, it's probably more like 8 to 9% nationwide. And those numbers for blacks and Hispanics are well into the double digits. So this plan would provide direct assistance to them. It would provide direct assistance to those who are hungry with food assistance. It would provide support to help avoid evictions for those people who are in a lot of trouble and facing the prospect of being kicked out of their homes. So it would do all of those things. And in addition to that, it would provide direct payments to families making up to 150,000, singles up to 75,000. We think that's an appropriate thing to do given the degree to which this crisis has actually put working families at a disadvantage. We think that providing that support right now would help bolster and help provide a bridge to when we actually can see real durable signs of recovery.
Well, Brent, some of the numbers that I see, I own a couple of restaurants, but it's looking at 150,000 restaurants have closed through no fault, obviously, of their own. It's because of the pandemic. They hire a lot of people. But what incentive are you giving people to reopen? And I'm not just talking PPP, but these are permanently closed unless you do something because the incentives just aren't there to reopen.
Look, it's a devastating problem we have across the nation. 400,000 small businesses have closed permanently. Many of them are facing real challenges. So what we want to do is we want to provide a bridge. And as you say, the PPP program really does provide a bridge. We're targeting those resources at the smallest firms, typically those with less than 20 employees that are disproportionately negatively hit. But we also want to start to provide some growth capital. So one of the things in this rescue plan is a small business opportunity fund would work with states to provide growth capital to companies so they can start to take advantage of parts of the economy where they're seeing that growth and actually build as well. So this is about both a bridge, but also how we start to help those smallest firms, many of whom are in the restaurant hospitality sector, as we start to come back. So that's part of the rescue plan, too.
When you talk about a bridge to durable signs of recovery, give me what will be those signs of recovery and tell me when your expectations are that we'll actually start to see them.
Well, one thing I've learned in this job is you never want to make predictions about the economy. Inevitably, they'll be wrong. What I think we want to see is we want to see faster job growth. We want to see more reopening, and we want to see reopening in ways that will actually help those families and those communities that have been the hardest hit. So we want to get schools reopened. We want to get support to people that need it the most, those who are unemployed, those who are facing acute crises around hunger, around homelessness, and do so in a way that we can actually start to get some durable momentum in the economic recovery.
So when we bring you on here and we're adding, what, 600,000-800,000 jobs in a month, is that going to be a sign?
Look, we will always be rooting for more job growth for more Americans across the board. We think that if we pass this rescue plan right now, we could be poised for really strengthening this economy and getting to full employment significantly faster than that most forecasters estimate without this plan. So that's our goal.
Brian, really quick, while we have you, we got to ask about the semiconductor shortage. Both as an industry story and as a macro story, I wonder how you think it fits into the overall picture of scarcity, which is becoming a running theme in the economy as we move into the spring.
Look, in the short term, myself and my counterparts in the national security team are spending a lot of time interacting with our counterparts in the Taiwanese government and other governments, trying to make sure that we do what we can to encourage the supply to help address some of the short-term shortages in the auto industry and other sectors. But this is not a problem that has a short-term solution. This is part of a longer-term challenge about vulnerabilities we have in the American supply chain. And so what we're really focused on is looking at how we can actually build more domestic industrial resilience in the supply chain for semiconductors, but also other key inputs that go into our manufacturing base so that we don't find ourselves in a crisis like this where we see changes in demand and changes in supply patterns completely exposed. So you're going to hear a lot more from this White House about that going forward. We're going to focus on the short-term issues, but really the solution here is a longer-term strategy. And that's one where we've got broad bipartisan support. We want to work with Congress to provide the resources we need to actually build that strategy over the long term.
Yeah, your point is exactly right. We've been through cycles, but a lot of people argue not one quite like this. Brian, we always appreciate it on Jobs Friday. It's great to see you. Thanks. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Brian Deese, National Economic Council Director. Jim, if we had more time with him, I would have asked about infrastructure, which is going to be a story that will heat up. And antitrust, David, I don't know if you saw the report in the Times today that Tim Wu, pretty aggressive critic of antitrust structure in this country, is going to join as a special assistant to the White House.
I did see that, and he's been outspoken on a number of issues. Worth always reading. He's got an interesting take on things. But yes, listen, that figures into it. We've yet to really test and see what antitrust policy in the Biden administration is truly going to look like. It may take a while to sort of get a sense for that, but it's something to keep in mind. And then with Mr. Deese, you heard that longer-term plan, Jim. You know, you always wonder what will that involve in terms of how they're going to go about supporting the semiconductor industry in this country. Not the short-term concerns
right.
about supply constraints, but longer-term in terms of more of the national defense perspective.
Right, I was going to say, it has to do with defense. Yeah. It has to do with the fact that I'm not saying you can't trust Taiwan Semiconductor, but the Chinese put tremendous pressure on these companies. It's not like they're U.S. companies that happen to be in China or in Taiwan. I mean, these are Chinese companies that we have affiliated with. Remember, David, you know that a lot of times we don't own all 100% of the companies that are in China that do anything.
Pretty much most of the time. Yeah. right, Carl? Most of them are JVs. Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. Well, they've made promises, but it's been a long time in filling them. So interesting comments from Deese. We'll see how it moves the market. Let's get to Rick Santelli this morning. Hey, Rick.
Hi, Carl. Indeed. Listen, we'd like to see many hundreds of thousands of jobs coming back beyond the jobs we see. But it was a pretty good report, considering what's going on, considering vaccines going into arms, considering you can't improve when you're closed, you can't read when you're asleep. Now that we're reopening, things will improve, and I think you're starting to see that show up in the numbers. Look at an intraday of 10, zoom, zoom, zooming. But if you zoom back on the chart to last Thursday, something interesting. You know, we all remember last Thursday we had all those spikes. So we spiked up to 161. If you look at today's, we took that out by just a basis point. That may be significant. Also tells me that we know where resistance is on yields. We know if you're looking for rates to go down where you're going to be wrong. If this market starts to trade much above 166, 167 yield intraday, but especially on a closing basis, that could fuel more momentum to the upside. And on 30s, well, on 30s, look at it 1 week of 30s going back to that Thursday, actually. And you'll see they fell short of taking out their intraday spikes. And once again, I think that plays into the whole technical formation that you know when you're off sides by the way these markets are stopping. So indeed, around 237 to 240 is the number you want to pay close attention to on 30s. Now, finally, if we look at both of them together, we're comping 13 months back to February on 10s, 14 months to January on 30s. 30s are like comping. If they would have closed on their high yield right around 232-ish, 233, maybe a bit higher, that comps to this first, second week in January 9th. And the point of this is that as we start to see these yields rise to pre-COVID levels, there is going to be a magic sweet spot there where the Fed's going to have to make a decision whether they want to alter, taper, or add to their purchases. And I think that's what the market and investors are pushing, to see what the reaction is, especially with the feedback loop on stocks. Finally, two-day dollar index. Man, it's up like a cent in 2 days. If you look at the chart going back to November, we're at three-plus month high in the dollar index. Boy, higher rates really gave it a boost. Carl, Jim, David, back to you, and have a good weekend.
All right, you too, Rick. So the early bounce here was Dow up 334. We've lost a little bit of that. Yields pretty steady, although oil now is above 66. More Squawk on the Street in a moment. Twitter reportedly testing an undo send feature. Mashable is citing an app researcher and tipster who says the feature is said to work like this. Once you hit send on a tweet, a short timer begins and you will be allowed 5 to 6 seconds to hit undo. CEO Jack Dorsey had previously ruled out the idea of a strict edit button. Speaking of edits or undos, by the way, guys, we mentioned Ryan Cohen's ice cream tweet from a few days ago. The latest, of course, harkens back to the pets.com era. I guess, Jim, on the Twitter front, this would be easier than simply hitting delete and having to start the whole thing over again.
Yeah. I mean, look, those of us who like Twitter, and particularly I'm complimented quite often in Twitter, and then there's some backhanded compliments. Sometimes you want to get right at it, and you need this. And Twitter needs to be kinder. Maybe this is going to help it be kinder. They're doing well on ads, but this stock's been shelled. I mean, not as badly as some of the other stocks, including one I want to talk about when I do stop trading, but holy cow, these stocks are just toxic right now. And Square, which was bought very heavily by a particular fund that a lot of people are short, did that deal yesterday that a lot of people are still scratching their heads.
The Tidal deal?
The Tidal deal.
Yeah. And you were referring to ARK, of course, right, being a buyer there.
You keep picking on them. Go ahead.
I'm not picking on them at all. She's had the best performance of any money manager, period, over the last 5 years.
I know, but they're shooting against that fund.
They are. Well, it's also, we were talking, it can be used as a hedge. You short that right. As a hedge on your, you know, a lot of other things.
Well, look, you get interest rates down, and you're going to get crushed on that hedge.
ARK, we're talking about here, ARK, by the way, not
if
Square.
If you get interest rates down, Carl, ARK is the one you want to own because it's all the stocks that have great stories in the out years. But as long as interest rates remain looking like they're going to go higher, you don't want story stocks. You want, I don't know, you want Parker Hannifin, Ingersoll Rand. Mm. You want industrials.
Yeah. Yep. That move to cyclicals, epicenter stocks, as Tom Lee calls them.
Well, I like that.
It's pretty interesting.
Tesla's not in the epicenter.
Speaking of which, Speaking of which, NASDAQ has gone a bit red here, down 8 points. We're back in a moment. Take a look at the Dow's, or the S&P rather, week-to-date gainers. It's all about energy and media. Diamondback leads the group with 22% for the week. David mentioned some of the media names like Fox and Discovery, but Occidental and Marathon in there as well. More Squawk on the Street continues in a moment. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
You're seeing a lot of states open. Connecticut most recently. And when you hear open, what that says is you're probably less likely to order through DoorDash. Now, DoorDash will say, listen, it's now ingrained, but that's not the way the market's going to view it, because people want, restaurateurs want people to come to the bar and come to the restaurant. And the last thing they want to do is send it out and make very little money. So DoorDash remains a stock you don't want to own right now as we open. Look at that.
Yep. I saw you mention Wendy's as one example of what to look to.
Yes.
Jim, as
Wendy's
going
to
open yesterday.
I mean, I happen to like the inside of a Wendy's. You're going to go to inside Chipotle. You're going to go to inside. But Chipotle is very highly valued. But be careful, DoorDash, because they take such a huge chunk that you want to discourage people from doing it. You'll offer a discount to come to your restaurant. That's what's going to happen. You might even use Twilio to push the discount. So there we go, Carl. Huh.
Jim, what's tonight?
I got Nutanix. I've got Trex. That's that stuff that is... I like because it's recycled. And then Okta bought a company called Auth0, and we're going to have both of them on. This is cybersecurity, and nothing's more important than cybersecurity, given the fact that since SolarWinds, we realize that it's a national effort to destabilize our country. But we just don't regard it as that.
Asymmetric warfare.
We're fools. They're coming after us, Carl, and we're saying, like, hey, you know, okay.
Right. We'll see how long that lasts, Jim.
Yes,
great week.
Stop.
We'll see you tonight.
Yep.
Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.